and Squamish Nation peoples. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me, as per usual, by the illustrious
Hugh Dana.
There we go. So before we get too much into things here, I just want to open up the show with two little bits of news. One related to the music industry, one not at all related to music, but it's still dope. So first and foremost, congratulations to the Sacramento Kings on the of the National Basketball Association.
Oh, they finally made it?
Qualifying for the playoffs. First time in 16 years the Kings have done so. And,
wow.
Yeah, I know.
What is that, 2006?
Yeah.
Or 7, I guess now.
No, I think it's 2006 they haven't made the playoffs. So, yeah, longest.
Not since we've watched have they made the playoffs.
Yeah, dude, one of my cousins, he's a big NBA fan, and, like, he was born in 2006. In his life. Well, actually, he was born early 2006, so maybe he would have been able to witness it, but as a very small child.
What's the Beam Team ceiling here? Our resident NBA analyst.
Second round exit.
Really?
Yeah, but they're good. They're damn good, dude.
Second round exit to who? Like the Clips?
Yeah.
Probably, bro. That's
yeah,
just
probably the
works.
Clips. Clippers are...
Clippers end up going way deeper than they should.
One of the other more experienced teams, like maybe the Suns, knock them off, if that's how the bracket shakes out. Anyway, congrats to Sacramento.
How about the Lakers?
Y'all deserve it.
Right back in the 8th seed.
Yes, the Lakers are also in the mix. Hughes... You know,
boyhood
team with the Lakers. Not at all an NBA fan, though. Anyway, second bit of news that actually pertains to music is this might have crossed into your, what should I say, like your
atmosphere,
your news orbit.
Yeah.
JID and Metro Boomin have a collab album coming out.
That did
eventually.
Not cross into my...
No.
Oh, eventually? That's because there was no date, huh?
Yeah, there's no date confirmed, but... Like, that is a thing that they're working on.
Is it JID?
Yeah, I'm...
JID or JID?
JID or JID. I always read it as JID. I just assume it's JID. Although,
I don't think... It doesn't really matter.
Might be an acronym, but who
Destin
cares?
Root. Better known by all stylized as JID. I guess it's either.
Yeah. JID's just easier. Anyway, JID and Metro Boomin making an album, though. That's really dope.
That's dope for him.
I think that's dope for both of them, because that's something that, when we talked about heroes and villains, something that kind of... wasn't, like, a gripe or an issue I had with that album, but, like, a slight disappointment that Metro didn't branch out into more artists. He wasn't working with a very wide array of artists on that album. He kept things pretty narrow, so it's good to see him working with a new face.
JID's really good.
JID's really good, and Metro's really good. And he always gets the best out of his collaborators. So I struggle to see a way in which this album isn't going to be good.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I didn't realize that The Forever Story was his follow-up to DiCaprio 2.
Yeah.
Because I remember listening to DiCaprio 2. But I never listened to The Forever Story. I don't know. I guess I was kind of beyond that kind of rap at that point. But I'm aware of how good JID is. I listened to, like, Revenge of the Dreamers. That's really dope for him. I feel like this would be the apex of his career if that hits. His highest charting record is The Forever Story at 12. Anything with Metro Boomin goes higher than that.
Yeah, like, he's already pretty mainstream.
No, he's totally mainstream.
But
he's, like, off to the side a bit.
Yeah, he's like, mainstream adjacent. But this would just fully... This is going to just fully fling him in. To the mainstream conversation, I think.
He was the support. He was the opener for the For Your Eyes Only tour.
That makes sense.
And he was the opener for Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Hey.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That's about the time when he would have been coming up.
Dude, that's... I was thinking of, like, other albums that I've heard that are coming out. But I haven't, like, really heard of anything recently. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know when that album's coming, but it is going to be a thing. So that's very cool.
Recently, I haven't been checking up on my Rap TV Instagram posts, and they're really good with, like, that kind of thing. I mean, they also post, like, random crap, like, NASA sees asteroid a million miles away. But talking about records or albums, we briefly mentioned it last time. Black stylized Sixlack, released his third studio album, Since I Have a Lover, 5 years after his sophomore record, which is East Atlanta Love Letter, it's just an awesome record. It's really like one of the soundtracks of my high school to me. He's got some bangers on there with J. Cole and Khalid, and that is a really dope record. That was like, I mean, his first record is crazy too. Have you ever listened to Free Black? I know you've probably heard like Problems.
Probably. I've not listened to too much of his music before listening to Since I Have a Lover. So.
Yeah. So East Atlanta Love Letter and Free Black are so good. These are like some of my favorite records from like my high school, from like between 2016 and 2019 or 2020. Like almost every song on East Atlanta Love Letter is fun. It's emotional, but it's also nonchalant in a way that makes him sound cutthroat. But on Since I Have a Lover, 5 years have passed. His sound has changed a bit, but it's almost been toned down a bit. I think that he went through, he has a daughter. I want to say he went through something messy with his wife or baby mama. And this record just doesn't really seem to have the same emotional range as East Atlanta Love Letter, or even the topic range as Free Black and East Atlanta Love Letter. I feel like, I briefly mentioned this to you earlier this morning, was that like whatever experience has happened in the last 5 years, he put out like a little thing called Message to My Fan, where he kind of like apologizes for it and says like, I'm not the same person, like stuff, life got in the way pretty much. And he just like wasn't in a place to make music. And I think that actually really affected this record, because I think a lot of this record, when you have his sound and he's kind of like nonchalant, you don't know if he cares, it's kind of like it's low energy, low frequency, but it's still really catchy. Like that can either come off as really clever, cutthroat, or dull. And I feel like a lot of this record dips into dull. There is a really good Don Toliver feature,
yeah,
which we should mention, because again,
something that we sort of touched on when we were talking about Don Toliver's Lovesick album, that his features are often great, but his solo work isn't often great. And I think this is just further confirmation that when Don Toliver does not have primary creative input on a song, he'll do great, but when he does have primary creative input on a song, it is far more like mediocre,
yeah,
far more hit or miss territory.
Yeah, well, but his fans love his sound. Like, people love Don Toliver. Like, love Don Toliver.
Yeah, because he does a lot. Because he does have a lot of good appearances.
Oh, he really does.
But that, but like,
wow, I forget about all the songs he's on, dude.
Yeah, no, he does a ton of features. Like, the guy's name and voice are... He's a feature mainstay, for sure. But I think maybe we're just more critical of Don Toliver.
Well, I think that...
I think maybe we're thinking about it differently, too, because we're, like, judging his solo against his features and not just putting it all together in, like, one thing. And not just, like, considering him holistically, but considering him as, like, two different...
But I feel like, I don't think that's true. I think that, like he has songs that are great, and his features are consistently great. But his albums, I just feel like I'm all, like his, like I know what his ceiling is. It's very high.
Yeah.
It's like wildly high. He is like Travis Scott's protege. His ceiling is like close to Travis Scott's. Currently, maybe current that, Travis Scott's current ceiling.
Okay, sure. I don't. That's
well, songs like No Idea are so good.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
That is such a clever song. But then he also drops like songs like Private Landing.
Yeah,
which could have been legendary.
Yeah, had the right people working on it to be legendary, but just.
My gripe with Don Toliver is that I know he's amazing, and I just feel like his albums are always good, never great.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and
he has the talent to do great, to make great music, and he has made great music, but it's just, it never seems to come when it's, like, he's the primary billing.
Yeah.
It always comes when he's, like, attached
to a project. At least, I would have to agree with you. Why that is a long conversation. You're probably on the right track with the creative input, but like he also has like Lemonade.
Yeah, but again, that's
like mostly him.
Yeah, but that's still an Internet Money song.
Yeah, but are you assuming Internet Money wrote that? Because like that's like the famous part is all him. I forget that Gunna and Nav even on there. Like that song is so good. It has 1 billion streams, bro.
Yeah.
Obviously, like
I like Nav's part of it.
Is that Eddie Boys?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's a great song, but mm-hmm. back to 6 Lakh.
But still, to my point though, that's still not like a solo Don Toliver venture.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of the song is like purely his.
Can you remember the last solo Don Toliver song you loved? What about the last featured? What about the last song with Don Toliver you love? Can you remember that?
Oh, like Too Many Nights.
Okay, and then what about the last? Like, and is it No Idea?
That,
are you going like years back?
No, and then before that, I'd say Moon, with Kanye.
What about
and
solo
Kid Cudi
record, solo track by Don Toliver?
Yeah, and then you probably go back to No Idea era.
Wow. Okay.
Because like I feel like the three singles off that like. No Idea, Cardigan, and
After Party.
After Party.
Those are great.
Those are all great.
All three of those are great.
But I feel like those are the only like solo Don Toliver songs that I've heard that are great,
awesome.
That are awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. But back to
Six Lakh. We'll just say
to
just to
topic at hand.
Yeah, back to Black. So,
back in
yeah, I just feel like this album sometimes dips into dull, and maybe that's like. Maybe that's insensitive of me, considering, like, we know that he's been through some very, like, it sounds like he's been through some rocky-ass stuff, so much so that he couldn't make music.
Mm-hmm.
What our conversation will transition into, we'll just briefly touch on this, I need to probably listen to it more, is that so much time has passed
mm-hmm.
that my hunger for 6 Lakh has incrementally grown. And I just wanted more than this.
Yeah, the album is very
monotonous.
Monotonous. It's
it's the same thing.
No, it's not. Monotone is like toned down and quiet, and I think monotonous is like boring.
Repetitive. You're right. Wrong word.
Yeah,
I feel like he has such a way wider melodical range than is mm-hmm. on this record. That's my main gripe. Like, he has songs like Since I Have a Lover, which has, like, a real guitar, and it's, like, mm-hmm. strumming away.
And
you can...
High Point.
That's my favorite song on the record. Yeah. But, actually, Rent Free is actually great.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, like, songs like B4L, which is just, like... Or the one that really encapsulates it is Playing House, where it's really monotone.
Yeah.
And I feel like he goes into that place a lot, but that's clearly where he's been.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I have with this is that it's been 5 years, and I expected this record to be quite...
You wanted something grander?
Expansive.
Yeah.
In its tones, and it's not in its thematics, because the theme he has on here, which is, like, I think kind of just, like, what went through his head when everything was going on. I think that it's... These are really... He went, like, he would have an argument with... I don't know what happened. I want to say that something happened with his... fiance or baby moms, just from the track that's called like Letter to My Fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to assume that Since I Have a Lover is kind of like the next person after that, and
okay.
this is like how he's like combating the feelings of like the person after you. Like he has like a 7-year-old with his ex. Like, this is all speculation. I just kind of like, that's just, like, the vibe I got. He mentions it.
Yeah, I think this album is probably going to grow on you and
yes.
on me a bit.
Because it has.
Time because I think the other thing, too, is, like, sure, from, like, the instrumentals, the tune, the stuff that kind of gets you immediately is all very, like we were saying, monotone
yes.
and very laid back. And a lot of the songs are kind of low energy and slow and all that
which
stuff.
Which is his thing.
Yeah, which is his thing, exactly. And so I think I would expect that with more time passing and you really listen to like the lyrics more and you understand the through line of the songs and the overall like theme of the album, like what he's actually saying, like not focusing less on what he's saying as opposed to how he's saying it. I think like once you get to the just focusing on what he's saying aspect, I think you'll probably enjoy it more, because there are some lines and like themes on songs that have stuck out to me. Like I enjoyed the song.
He can really rap, bro.
Yeah,
he
enjoyed the song really with Wale.
Yeah,
but that was
Wale. I forgot about him before this.
Yep.
Well, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. And yeah, there was a line on one of the songs that was like, I'm paraphrasing, but the line was something like, "I've been trying to feel like a person, but I can't help but feel black."
Yeah,
I think is what he was saying, something along those lines. And I just like thought that that was a really interesting sentiment to hear. So. This could very well be something that grows on you and
yeah,
on me,
and that's
a bit,
that's
over
why
time. Because I didn't even like dislike the album on first listen or anything like that.
No, I didn't dislike it. I was disappointed, which I think is why I want to transition this, because that is what I was going to say, is that I think that with a record like this, you have to like the simple. You can't like. This is music that is not meant for you to play as you walk somewhere. You have to really dive into music like this when the melody's not the main part. Like, the thematics and what he's saying is really what he wants you to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to transition this conversation into, like I said, my main gripe is that he waited 5 years to drop a record that is as, like, I want to say, boxed as this.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Do you have more thoughts
on this record?
Yeah, because we could play a song and
we'll play a song and then we'll rotate the conversation.
Yeah.
Which the conversation I want to be is kind of like the risks and rewards of waiting 5 years, or just like what happens, or how should you drop a record? When should you drop a record? And then we'll go over some examples and stuff. But like just the risks and rewards of waiting a long time to drop music, because there are some people who do it and it makes the impact greater. Like I want to say, like people like embrace Blonde and like Blonde a lot more because of how long it took for it to come.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's stuff like Roddy Ricch's record after Excuse Me for Being Antisocial, which, or like Eternal Take is one that really sticks out to me, where like the hype is so high and by the time the next record comes it's like 30-40% of what it was at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that I thought about here, is that because he waited 5 years, which is a long time for someone like Black,
yeah.
He doesn't have like the just like the back catalog of Kendrick, where you know that 5 years means he's going to give you something thematically so intrinsic and wide reaching that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like for him, you expect something every 2-3 years. And I think that that really played a role in me at first thinking it was dull, because I expected so much more because of how much time was taken.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's possibly insensitive of me, because of like obviously he says that he wanted to drop this years ago, but he just couldn't.
You got cold feet.
I don't even like, just life gets in the way, man, right?
Yeah. I think the title of the opening track, for it to be like a comeback album after a long absence, I just like that the opening track was called Cold Feet.
Yeah,
I think that's
genius,
just a very
dude.
Interesting title.
Like his, like if you go back and listen to Free Black, like his stuff is so good, so clever. He's weaved so many like topics that you wouldn't expect him weave together, and he combines things, and he's like an A-tier rapper, but like technically, but like he doesn't release enough music to be up there, which is the problem. So before we transition into our conversation about taking too long to drop music, we'll play a song off this record.
Yeah,
I want to play Since I Have a Lover.
Yeah, play the title track.
Because that's my favorite song.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so this is one of these singles. I want to say it's the second single off of Black's third studio record, Since I Have a Lover. And this is called Since I Have a Lover.
Since I have a lover. song. Not trying to press my luck or not. Don't want to love you just for fun. Soon as I felt your touch, feet just left the ground. I've been tweaking since the first time around. Second time around, get it on the gown. Gotta say a vow. I smoke, you smoke, get lifted, we gone. From the east side to the tours I go on. Got too much to do and the days don't get no longer. Cooped up for the winter, we gon' drop this love next summer. I smoke, you smoke, get lifted, we gone. From the east side to the tours I go on. Got too much to do and the days don't get no longer. Cooped up for the winter, we gon' drop this love next summer. Feel the happiest out the way. You paid me some mind, I had to change. You ain't gotta say too much. My heart just burning around. I've been sleeping since the first time around. At your mama house, sleeping on the couch, trying to keep it down. Since I have a lover, no more lonely night. The type of love to supply, can't tell a lie. Don't need advice, plus you my vice, like what I like. You light my fire, you give me high, reach a new height. I smoke, you smoke, get lifted, we gone. From the east side to the tours I go on. Got too much to do and the days don't get no longer. Cooped up for the winter, we gon' drop this love next summer.
The 22nd edition of DOXA Documentary Film Festival returns May 4th to May 14th, 2023. Committed to cultivating curiosity and critical thought, DOXA will present both short and feature films from across Canada and around the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, DOXA is once again returning to local theaters. The in-person festival will include live conversations with filmmakers as well as industry-specific events. The festival program will be announced soon. Visit doxafestival.ca for more information.
Sit back, relax.
Don't miss Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show, with plenty of funk, soul, surf, and more music. Wednesdays, 8 to 10 a.m., 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio. Find us online at jackvelvet.net.
This is Pure Dracula from MacLew, and you are tuned in to CITR Radio, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, CITR.ca.
Welcome back from that extragalactic station ID there. God bless, dude. God bless the show promos, the ads, the station IDs that we get to play, man. Because it's just such a, I don't know. You're just spinning a wheel. Whenever it lands on, you just got to ride with it.
Unfortunately.
It's entertaining.
Yeah. Some of those are insane, dude.
Yeah.
Anyways. That was Since I Have a Lover. That is a really good song, man.
That is a really good song. Really, we kind of like weren't speaking highly of the album and then just played like a dope ass.
I know. No, but we said that he's awesome. We reinforced the fact that we think he's great. But that's the high point.
Yeah, true.
There's like four songs like that out of like 18.
Yeah.
And the other songs might, like, I'm sure that every song he's spitting, because his bars are so good just all the time. But like, just like you said, the tone is dialed down, and it's just I just wish that there was more. It was a little bit more expansive, because I know he can go there, and I know when he goes there, he's great. But maybe the theme for that album's not that, and the reason I'm upset, like I said, is because that was a half a decade wait.
Yeah.
Speaking of waiting a half decade, we'll talk about artists. We'll just talk about music. Just like we said, the risks and rewards of taking forever to drop a record. People who took, like, here, we'll start this with people who took too long and it was okay. Like, all the right. First person that comes to mind is Frank Ocean for me. Like, he took a long time, but people ate it up.
He's taking. Oh, you're talking about Channel Orange.
I think he's done. I don't think he'll ever release anything more.
Man, that'd be unfortunate.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't.
It's that good.
See, you're talking about the channel.
Channel launched the Blonde
Gap, yeah.
That's... And Blonde was still eaten up. It went number one.
Yeah, because it's phenomenal.
Starboy 2, After Hours. He did have My Dear Melancholy in there.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the impact of EPs right in the middle of, like, album deserts, we'll call them.
Gaps.
Yeah. Mr. Morale, or Damned Mr. Morale.
Yeah.
He waited 5 years. That was still really good.
Mm-hmm.
Who else took... Calvin Harris, I mean, but Funk Wave 2 wasn't that good, man.
No. I'm talking about waiting a long time and it was worth it. I'm assuming that the Travis Scott wait will be worth it.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's
Astroworld. I'm going to have to agree with you there.
We're on a 5-year gap there as well.
Are we on a 5-year gap now?
Yeah, it's 2018, or summer 2018, so I guess we're not quite at 5 years yet, but we're a few months out. From it having been 5 years since Astroworld came out.
I wonder what he's doing. I mean, that one's a little different because of everything that happened.
True. We probably would have had Utopia by now,
yeah,
if it weren't for the Astroworld Festival
debacle. But I don't know what's going to happen there.
It'll come.
Eventually.
It'll come.
Someone like Childish Gambino's taken a while. I can't. His last record was very strange.
It was like the one.
Those files or whatever.
Yeah, all the song titles were just like
dates or whatever.
Yeah, like date and times, which is a, you know, it's a unique way to.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a complete album for us, though.
No.
SZA took forever, but her record was great.
She did take a long time. Anyway. With that out of the way, we've just been kind of naming people here.
Yeah, now I'm thinking of people who, like everyone we've said, they're like an A-tier artist. They're really, really good.
Really strong artists.
The quality of the art obviously changes it. Like, Like, Ray Schremer has waited, like, 6 years here. And it's kind of over for them, right?
Yeah, they've missed their boat, dude.
Like...
They missed their boat. No one cares.
Their last record was 2018.
Yeah, no. No one cares.
And why is that? Because I'm not kind of I'm not really going to disagree with you
because
there.
Ray Schremer weren't very good to begin
That's
with.
Not true. Sway Lee is awesome. Sway Lee did, like, Sunflower and... Slim Jim is weak.
No, yeah, they have songs.
But they have great songs, dude.
Yeah, but like, sure, but beyond like notable songs, like it's not like they were coming out with like great albums, great projects.
I don't know, man. Those first two were awesome. Were like huge. Did you listen? Have you? Okay, I'm gonna assume you've never listened to any of their records.
Not in full.
Okay, it's music that you wouldn't like. You've heard, like, No Flex Zone.
And yeah.
I Ain't Got No Type. But yeah. This Could Be Us. And then, obviously, Black Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Swang.
Yeah.
Guatemala's dope. I want to play you a song called Offshore. But anyways.
But they're still not on the level of those guys we previously mentioned, regardless of how much fun you had listening to Ray Schremer in their heyday.
So is the problem... That you just, like, when you just aren't awesome, you just shouldn't take that long because people just stop caring? Is that, like, your... Would that be a fair assessment? Like, what happened to Roddy Ricch? He was literally on top of the world, and then COVID hits. Maybe that really affects everything, though. Maybe.
That also does affect everything because that delayed, like, everything probably by 2 years.
You think so?
Year and a half, 2 years, yeah.
But his record dropped December 2019.
Okay, yeah, but you can't, like, March 2020, 3 months later, 4 months later.
He still has number one record in the world.
Yeah, but, like, you can't tour off that.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't tour at that time. You probably can't go to the studio in that time.
I assume they all have home studios.
You probably all have home studios, but still, you can't...
It's not the same.
A whole lot harder to bring people in to collaborate.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't travel anywhere. So you're...
I never thought about that. COVID probably ruined his career. Because he couldn't tour off the box, man.
No.
That was the first, like, he was the first rapper to have a number one since, like, Kanye, I want to say. Because, like, we won't count Drake.
Are you sure?
I mean, if you want to count Drake.
Did Humble go number one?
Maybe. But it was, like, multiple years.
Yeah, it had been a time.
It had been three or four years.
Sure.
It might have been Humble. Like, and I'm excluding, like, because obviously Drake consistently goes number one, but.
He toes the line. So,
because like the Roddy Ricch fall, like one of your greatest one-liners ever is the Roddy Ricch fall off will be studied for generations.
That's not even my own line.
Oh, damn.
I claim no ownership of. I don't think I ever have claimed ownership of that line. That was something I saw in a Reddit comment.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that, but maybe I did and I forgot. But
I think you just forgot.
Yeah.
Because, dude, there are genius comedians.
Oh, yeah. People are so clever.
On Reddit.
And they probably work at Subway, which is unfortunate.
But yeah, man, I really just think that. The time in between albums and, like, the how justifiable it is and the impact it can have on your career is, like, just entirely dependent on how good of an artist you are and how, like, loyal your fan base is. Because
like you said, Playboi Carti.
Sure.
Well, I think he's worth bringing up.
Playboi Carti, I think, is in a weird spot, though, because, sure, it's, like, it Whole Lotta Red came out 2.5 years ago. It came out in December of 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, Christmas Day 2020, which is hilarious. I love that he did that. But in Cart, I feel like maybe I'm just too active. I am subscribed to the Playboi Carti subreddit.
Oh, wow. Real Carti fans wouldn't be on that, though.
No, probably not.
No, there's no
You know what,
Carti
though? You know what? Actually, definitely there are, because some of those people have the most insane takes about, like, the quality of his music.
Dude, I was at a Playboi Carti show. There's no way any of those people are on Reddit.
Sure, but... There are people on Reddit. Anyway, the Playboi Carti subreddit is just hilarious. And the memes that come out of it, they aren't even talking about Carti half the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about anything and everything. It's just like a normal, like, meme Reddit page.
Dude.
And they just also talk about Carti. It's glorious. But anyway, the Carti fandom concentrated on the internet, if nothing else, is very frustrated by the fact that it's been, quote-unquote, a long time for... him to have come out with anything, but it's only been 2.5 years, which isn't
the kind of music, right?
Isn't that long. But when you're Playboi Carti and your songs definitely don't take 2.5 years to make.
Yeah, or we he or maybe he did, might he did not a whole even lot take of Red him, in one day.
Yeah,
the
probably,
entire
wouldn't,
thing,
probably
I think.
Wouldn't even take him 2.5 weeks
to make an
album. No, it's
probably 45 minutes to make one song.
Yeah, or like 2.5 weeks to make an album.
If his first idea on the beat is good, then he probably takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, if he likes his first idea, then he's probably super quick.
Mm-hmm. But he's one of those people that, yeah, he doesn't need, obviously doesn't need a long time to come up with music. But I don't
but,
even.
But him waiting a long time doesn't harm him. Like, I think.
No.
Like, one that I think, one that, like, Lil Uzi waiting from mid-2017 to early 2020, that I think.
The Uzi thing is actually surprising because I feel like they were big enough and had a loyal enough fan base to where they could take their time. But but the product that came out from that wait, like the ends have to justify the wait. Because if you wait 3 years like Uzi did and you go from a great album that a lot of people love and think very highly of and is like a core album of like emo trap subgenre.
Yeah.
To Eternal Take, which just...
It's just straight up rap.
Straight up, yeah, but also it didn't have any standout tracks.
No, it didn't, because it was just rap.
Like, Baby
he didn't
Pluto
have the melodies, bro.
Straight.
He didn't have, sorry, the melodies.
The melodies.
He didn't have, like, the crazy singing melodies that he had, which I think is what brought, like, a lot of people into him. What I meant when I said Lil Uzi is there was a point where Lil Uzi was... everywhere. People, like, we could walk out there and those people who don't listen to hip-hop in the courtyard would be Lil Uzi fans. But I feel like he waited so long. Bro, it felt like back then he took so long.
Weren't there issues with leaks and stuff as well?
I don't really think so.
Okay.
That's Playboi Carti. Playboi Carti's career has kind of been ruined by leaks. Or why I think Whole Lotta Red is... deserves such high praise is that he had to shift everything because of how vicious his fan, we'll say, his fans are.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like by the time, and maybe it was I was at that time where my musical preferences were changing, but by the time Eternal Ed Take came out, I was way beyond the Uzi train, and also After Hours had just dropped.
So there was just better music for you to
listen
to?
Well, it was just
to?
Like, I'm not going to go from, like, Save Your Tears to...
Prices.
Like, yeah. Like, it's just like an insane drop-off.
Yeah.
And Lil Uzi was amazing. He was my favorite artist for a long time. I told you, we talked about how I loved his first few. I love, like, New York Nights at 21. That's, like, from 2015. I love all of that stuff. But I don't like... But he stopped rapping. Like you said, he's just kind of got weirder and weirder.
I think just the main issue with the wait is that Eternal Take didn't feel worth the wait. Like, it just... It wasn't.
No, but people love Eternal Take. I was at the Uzi show and people didn't want to hear anything besides Eternal Take. And I was like...
Right, maybe it's just because it's the most recent thing. I don't know.
And I think it was... And that's when this idea came. I was like, oh, I bet the people who like Love Is Rage 2 just don't like him anymore. Because Eternal Take is just such a left turn.
Yeah.
And everything afterwards is, like, Just Wanna Rock is bad, inherently, compared to, like, EXO Tour Life.
Comparing the highest point.
Or just, like, his most popular song. Like, we could also do, like, P's and Q's or Dark Queen.
Yeah, true.
Anything off that. The intro track for Love Is Rage 2 compared to I Just Wanna Rock, like, I don't really know what's going on there. But, like, he part of his image now is to kind of be crazy.
Yeah.
Or not crazy, but odd. I guess it's they. I keep saying he, but that language is sticky.
It's really not that hard. But, yeah, like, the left field, or he's, yeah, they're, sorry. They're definitely much more of a kind of outlandish character.
And I think that when you go from something that can be so appealing to many people, because he was a singer, melodic. It was mostly like Trippie Redd, like you're singing and it's like kind of rapping, but you're mostly singing. That's very appealing to a lot of people. And it was really good, man. And it was at a time where like he was at the top of that. And then you go from to something that is very niche, which is like hardcore rap.
Was Eternal Take really that?
Yeah, look, rap-y? listen to it and you won't get any of like, I don't really care.
No, of course not.
Which is like what made him so good was that his like is able to rap, like kind of like Drake, but the emo way. He could really rap, yeah. But he could also really make like a singing melody. And there's just no singing melodies in Eternal Intake. There are zero.
I think this has gotten away from a conversation about time in between albums, and I think we're kind of just on a point now where you're talking about
I think it's like a
people just changing their style for the worse.
No, I think that the point here is that I think that the Uzi point that we kind of skipped over was that, which is something I want to bring up because of the weekend, is like, when is it okay and not okay to cash in on your hype? Like, the weekend kind of did with Don FM. Like, I wasn't even done digesting After Hours,
mm-hmm.
and he dropped Don FM. Yeah. And I was, like, so excited. Like, you and I were like, but the impact wasn't that great. But, like, he cashed in on what he had. The money was in the bank. He cashed that money in.
Yeah.
Like, when is it, like, Uzi...
You can't fault The Weeknd, though, for dropping After Hours at that time. Or not
exactly.
After Hours, freaking Don FM at that time. Because if you don't cash in on... Because if he didn't cash in on his hype, then we probably could be sitting here criticizing him for not cashing in on the hype. But we wouldn't, because he's so much greater of an artist,
and I guess
that it doesn't matter.
So what I want to say is, when does it matter? Rihanna's waited, 8 years now? Is that too long?
No, because it's Rihanna. Even if Beyonce had a 6-year wait too, from Lemonade to why am I forgetting all these album titles now? To Renaissance, yeah. She also had a big wait, but Beyonce is a legend, so it's fine. I think when it comes to waiting, like, what you come out with has to be worth the wait, right? And like Renaissance was worth the wait, for example, or like Mr. Morale. Worth the wait
for yeah, that's,
especially
that,
for
that's
like
a, that's a really that's
hardcore,
a conversation
hardcore
for hardcore
fan like
fans,
me,
I think it was,
who's like invested in his personal narrative,
exactly,
because that whole album is just personal narrative.
As someone who shows up for Damned, I didn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
But maybe this conversation could be answered with that one sentence.
Yeah,
it just has to be worth the wait.
It just has to be worth the wait. Yachty waited a bit. Because he completely revolutionized his
sound. No, he didn't, dude. He dropped like a bunch of tracks. You just didn't.
No, but it was like 2020. It was like the last thing. You're right. Like
Michigan Boat Boy.
Michigan Boat Boy was
like 2022.
Yeah, that's
You're thinking of like his records. That was like an EP. Yeah, Michigan Boat Boy was 2021. Lil Boat 3 was right at the beginning of COVID. So he pretty much waited almost 3 years.
Okay. Which is, I think, an appropriate amount of time.
But he remained relevant, I think, kind of because he was hanging out with Drake.
I don't think he did remain relevant. I forgot about him. I think he might have only remained relevant to you because you're plugged into the Drake
scene. Well,
just
because I follow him. I follow Drake on Instagram, and then Yachty would just consistently show up. And I'd be like, oh, that's right, Lil Yachty.
Yeah, but I don't follow Drake on Instagram, and I just paid Lil Yachty absolutely no mind.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, Poland came out.
So, are there any artists who have... Sorry to cut you off, mate.
I didn't have anything to say.
I kind of. Are there any artists who you think I've waited too long and it's... let's say that Utopia ends up being bad.
I don't think Utopia is going to be bad.
No, but
this
is a thought experiment.
I wouldn't be surprised if... I'm cutting you off, I know, but like...
No. Keep going.
I wouldn't be surprised if when Utopia comes out, the initial feeling from it...
is like Mr. Morale.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Mr. Morale, where it's like the core fans are gonna love it and get it and appreciate it and understand it. But because if Travis Scott dropped this album in 2020, let's forget COVID exists. Let's like assume COVID never happens, and he comes out with Utopia in 2020 or 2021 or something, like not too long after Astroworld. The album came out, not the incident.
I know.
Gotta clarify. I think it would have just been huge and thrust him up even more. But Travis Scott is still massively popular, but I'm not gonna be surprised at all how do I frame this? I'm gonna say that, to use like the Kendrick Lamar as like the touch point, I'm gonna say that like Astroworld is like his dam, And I wouldn't be surprised if Utopia is more of like a Mr. Morale thing. Well, like the most popular song on Mr. I don't even know the streaming numbers.
What's the most popular song? I assume it's Die Hard.
Die Hard or N95. But yeah, I think neither of those songs
were huge, though.
I was going to say neither of those songs, like the streams on those songs are not, they're probably not top 4 or 5 on Damn in terms of streams.
Oh, dude, they're probably way down
there. Travis will probably stream better on Utopia.
Are you sure, dude? I think that people wanted Kendrick more.
But I think more people are going to probably go back.
Everything on Damn has over 150 million.
Okay.
And
it's also been more time with Damn, though, so it's a little harder to compare. But
Only two tracks have over 150 million, and it's
Die Hard and N95.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Rich Spirit is right next to them.
Okay.
And Silent Hill's closing in.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest streaming song only has 33 million, which is the interlude. I mean, that's really good for a long record like this.
Yeah.
Disc 3, The Heart Part 5, I didn't even know that was considered on this record.
It's not. It was just like, The Heart Part 5 was just added to the album, like, post-release. Like, just the label tacked it on, or whoever. Whoever's in charge of that stuff just tacked it on.
But I understand what you're saying, because I was shocked by how little waves Mr. Morale seemed to make. Like you couldn't escape Damn.
No.
And you couldn't escape Astroworld.
No.
And we talked about her loss also in our conversation about, like, is rap falling off, or is rap just slowly being phased out by just, like, different kinds of music, which we don't need to get into. But her loss also was just kind of here and there.
The Drake and 21
collab. Honestly, never mind. Felt like it stuck around longer, and maybe because it was just so left field.
I think that is also your own bias.
Well, I just think that, like, I think it's in the club that you can play it.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of your own bias.
Which means that
too.
It survives longer because there's, like, a certain environment it's meant for.
Yeah.
But, like, both of those records I thought would be enormous, and they were just kind of tread upon by Midnights. Like,
yeah,
Midnights just kind of ate everything up. Like, it sucked the space out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you're right, if Utopia, which were, I mean, like, he could drop, like, he said he was going to drop Astroworld, and then suddenly Birds in the Trap came out.
That'd be insane.
Which, I mean, maybe that's a good move, but.
I'd give people, like, a palate cleanser.
Huh. I mean, look, I expect Travis Scott. I mean, he hasn't been awesome since 2018.
No.
He's I don't like really. Escape Plan. I don't really like Mafia. I don't really care for Hold That Heat. They're all, like, fun, but there's nothing, like, as good. I mean, Astroworld's so good, dude.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not really worried about the singles in the lead up to Utopia.
I don't even think
those
were singles for Utopia.
I think they were supposed to be at the time.
Was that right before Astrofest?
Yeah. It was a bit before. It was actually, like, pretty near. It wasn't that long in between when those singles came out and then the.
Yeah, probably like 3 weeks, dude.
Yeah, it was close. But I don't really care that, like, the singles aren't that. I'm not going to hold that against, like, my projection for the quality of the album, because, like, the best songs on Astroworld weren't singles.
No, yeah.
So
I don't remember the singles.
I think Butterfly Effect
Man. That came out like 2.5 years before.
Okay, well, it's still a single.
Is it technically a single? Oh,
yeah.
My God, I didn't realize Butterfly Effect was on this record.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like I think there was only one. I think it was just Stargazing.
He
hyped it up perfectly, though. Like, he didn't need to release anything. Stargazing came out like a month before the record.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, Astroworld is crazy. Astroworld is nasty.
Anyway, we should play another song and play some more ads, but...
Should we play something off Astroworld since we're talking about it? Can we play anything off Astroworld?
Well, yeah, we can definitely... Yeah.
Everything is... Why don't we... is there any singles you wanted to play from this week?
Oh, man.
Because there were some... I just thought this conversation was worth having because Lana Del Rey did drop. Ed Sheeran had a single come out. Internet Money did something with Roddy Ricch. Luke Combs dropped a record. I think that's worth mentioning.
True.
Fall Out Boy, Ellie Goulding, Bruce Springsteen's daughter.
Bruce Springsteen's daughter?
Linkin Park.
Wait, Alana Springsteen is not Bruce Springsteen's daughter.
No.
Okay, well, get it right then.
It's just funny.
It is funny, but worth clarifying afterwards.
Group Love dropped a record. Like, it's... Or no, it's just a single, but... Like, there was actually some music that came out, so maybe we should touch on it. Because I was just... I was focused on the Black record for this whole week. Juice WRLD.
Yeah. It's just kind of... It sounds like a song that should have remained unreleased.
Yeah, I feel like it's weird to drop his music now.
Resurrected and, like, glossied up as much as they possibly could.
I feel like it's, like, it can get disrespectful.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is disrespectful.
I think any posthumous releases after the first posthumous album is too much.
Bro, but his fans are ravenous. It's insane how many, like, that he has people that still...
Yeah,
that he has fans like to
absolutely.
The
That's why they're
does.
Still coming out with this stuff, but
which is crazy because they shouldn't. No. Because this he obviously wrote this in 2019.
Yeah,
or 18.
Yeah,
and there's no point in like Legends Never Die is great. That should have been it.
Exactly.
They dropped
that,
another
that
one.
That should have been the thing with pretty much every posthumous album is just come up with one like what they did with Pop Smoke, where the second one comes out and it's barely even an album. And
oh,
it's barely
yeah.
even like fully realized
or
because
X.
Or X. Anyone who has had multiple posthumous releases, it's probably not great. Unless it's like Michael Jackson.
Oh, I forgot. I don't even know.
He's got a few posthumous
releases. I don't even know which is posthumous and which is not. Like, there is a Juice WRLD record here that I had no idea came out. And it's streamed
with, like,
so
the
well,
double
bro.
Double horns thing on
yeah,
the cover. Yeah. That's the
Fighting
one.
Demons.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Too many.
Wow.
You can really only
Why
do one
is
posthumous
Rich
release.
And Blind and Legends on here? Those came out so long ago.
What do you?
I guess that like our posthumous talk. But I mean, I guess he did drop. I didn't listen to that. Right? We did listen to it. Your AI DJ threw it on.
What?
Yeah. Remember you put your AI DJ on? We were hanging out.
Yeah, but what song are you talking
the
about?
The Light.
Oh yeah, it did.
And,
come on.
And
well, I don't think it actually came on. I think I just cued it.
Oh, okay.
I was curious.
I don't know. I always feel like at this, like, it's been so long since Juice WRLD passed away that it's just kind of, it's just weird now.
Oh,
like, who's
sure.
making the money now? Like, we're
yeah.
all, this is, there's, I mean, is this going to his family or is this going to Lil Bibby or just the record label? I mean, his fans are insane. Like, the fact that he still has as many fans, I think most of them aren't. I've come to realize that I think most contemporary Juice WRLD fans weren't fans when he was alive.
Probably not.
Because I think that if you were a fan when he was alive, you would kind of have just, like, put that away. Because, like, there's no way that you can listen to the stuff he's rapping about for 5 years. You just grow up. You just realize that you can't just do drugs for that long.
Yeah.
I think. Anyways, we'll play a Lana Del Rey song.
Sure. Just fired up.
Did you listen to Lana Del Rey?
I think I intended to. But that is to say, I don't think I did. I didn't actually listen to that much music this week. I didn't prep very well. Hashtag bad co-host.
That's all right.
But Lana Del Rey and John Baptiste.
You saying that is kind of funny on the air. But all right, we'll listen to... Or do you want to just talk and then end the show with a song? I'd rather do that.
Well, we have to play ads.
We have to play ads?
Yeah.
Okay, well then this is
a
5-minute song. Everything
okay.
on here is so long. The right, shortest song is 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
You want to just take a little break then? And just
no.
come back, close it out?
Sure.
Cause like
we'll close it out to a Lana Del Rey song.
Yeah, but, you know, we have a station license we have to keep.
All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Second show added. MRG Live presents Haley Hendricks at the Biltmore Cabaret on April 19th. Haley Hendricks is a rising star in the indie folk scene. Her unique voice and intricate guitar playing will leave you spellbound. Don't miss the chance to see Haley Hendricks perform live at the Biltmore Cabaret. Tickets available at admitone.com.
Are you looking to relax and enjoy the outdoors? Then come play outside with Matt Collector. An inclusive and open community available to all. Matt Collective has a mix of free and paid classes and events starting June the 1st. They can be found at iconic Vancouver locations like Kitts Beach, St. Family Park in Canada Place. Matt Collective is a non-profit and proceeds go to support local community programming. So come have a stretch and engage in community building all at the same time. Visit mattcollective.com for more information. That's natcollective.com.
And we're back. I think the moral to that conversation we were having is really just, if you're good, you can wait.
But there's people who are good, and I don't know, I think there is a time.
But I just want to tack this on about what you're saying about, like, Ray Schremerd and, like, the gap it's been since Shrem Life 3 and that like, triple album they came out with to, like, their next project is, sure, even if they have, like, merit on their own and you think that they're good on their own, like, they were part of
A wave.
They were part of a wave of people making music that kind of sounded like that and had those that sort of like added.
They were part of a wave.
They were part of a movement. They were part of like a moment in time in music, and that time has passed. So because when I said like they're not good musicians or whatever, and you had a rebuttal to that, I still think it's. Even if, sure, like, they do have, like, some good songs and all that stuff.
This is a fair point.
I don't think, like, Ray Schremerd, like, stand apart from the rest or anything like that. I think they kind of just, like, exist. They were part of a thing, and that thing's done, and so now that they're still...
So you think no one will care if they drop a record?
No one will care. Because, like, their time has passed. Like, The waves of time have kind of washed away what they were a part of.
And that's fair. People still listen to Trippie Redd, bro.
Some people do, sure, and more power to them.
So maybe it's just, I guess, like, yeah, maybe...
So much of it just comes down to, like, are you good? Do you, and your fans, bro.
Like, I feel like Ray Schremerd doesn't have fans, like, as entrenched as Trippie Redd for some reason.
Yeah, and if you just exist, like, and also just do you... exist, can you stand alone on your own thing and have your art be able to just sort of transcend like whatever trends are going on right now? And can you just like, is what you make so good and so important that it can stand alone without like the needed context of a wider, like, trend or wave in the music industry that you're hopping on? Because that time has passed for them.
You hit the nail on the head right there.
Because that time has passed for them, and so even if by some miracle whatever the next album is great, then good for them. I doubt it'll be as popular as anything they came out with, but you know what? If you're still making good stuff, then and enough people are listening, then who the heck cares about being fully mainstream? But I don't think
with that
because I don't think it's. I think there was a time and place, and I don't think this is their time and place anymore.
And I think that you're correct, and that's kind of just the way it is for most artists. I mean, them waiting 5 years seems maybe foolish, but
oh, absolutely,
they did break up, get back together, this and that.
Yeah.
But with that, we'll end the show with some Ray Schremerd, I think. This was a single from when we thought they were about to drop the record, and they never ended up doing it. So this has been this week's episode of Music's on the Menu.
Yep, stay tuned. Dunkin'
next week
Donuts.
We'll be back for some more tune.
Yes.
For your head top.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Dunkin' Donuts coming up.
Yeah. Have a wonderful weekend. We will see you next week.
Yep.
This is Won't Be Late. Tell 'em again, tell 'em all. It just dawned on me, this right feels wrong. No wingman, that's only my A game. Well, I mean,
hey, this- This is Janelle from Anybody's, and you're listening to CITR.